This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
We are here live with my two best friends, that I have ever had, Dr. Lacey Book and Sean Dill, with me here at the NBA All-Star Weekend. We want to thank the Pacers for hooking us up with an amazing studio here at the All-Star Game. So this is the All-Star version of Friday training. And as always, we once a month do an office hours edition where we bring on some extraordinary guests. Get your questions prepared. So after each guest, we will have time to take questions on the multi-platform that we are broadcasting and amplifying on. But first, I just wanted to welcome Dr. Lacey Book.
So excited to be here today live. I mean, this is fun. Have you done this before this
way? No, this is like a multicast.
This is great. This is a multicast live. We're excited.
Yeah, super cool. And of course, my BFF himself, Dr. Sean Dill. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. What's up, everybody? And Breakfast of Champions, office hours, the whole deal.
It is amazing. Well, just real quick, because Erica's in the wings in the green room waiting for us. But we had an amazing VIP dinner with Meta World Peace, with the incredible Dominique Wilkins. The Iceman was there. Was there a quick takeaway that you had last night from the dinner, Lace?
I think for me, it was the commonality that they all had of really wanting to help the youth. I think they were everybody that spoke that was on the panel was so passionate about investing in our future. Not our future, but our children's future, and how we can elevate them and help them, you know, be very, very successful in this world. And I just thought that was a really neat thing to hear all of these individuals that had their own success wanting to do that.
Yeah, my takeaway was both those guys are super tall. What about you, Sean?
Everybody's tall for us.
I love this. You talk a lot about basements and ceilings, and common theme there. I think everybody in the room, well, definitely the panel, but even the guests in the room, people have found tremendous success. And I think one of the things that my takeaway was, do not let another human being set your ceiling. Mm-hmm. I think that it was, you know, so many people want to tell you what you cannot do. And then it, you know, you think like, well, Dominique Wilkins, Meta World Peace, Darren Prince, you think that, well, you know, they're naturally gifted, they're fortunate. But then you find out like, hey, their background, you know, much like you, everybody came from struggle. But what they didn't do is they didn't let other people tell them what they cannot do.
Yeah. And when they did that, they all had certain coincidences in their life. Mm-hmm. You know, the story about, yeah, I was playing on this playground or I was doing this. And you think about all the people that don't have the mindset that they're protected and promoted in the biggest struggles, and that there's still options, opportunities, and touches of favor with other, whatever faith you have and wisdom you gather. But one other thing is a quick takeaway. They all had mentors.
Yes,
they did. They all, to get to the highest level.
Some of them accidental mentors. Mm-hmm. Some of them, yeah, accidental mentors that just showed up in their lives and said, hey, I'm going to mentor you.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome. Okay, speaking of mentors, we are blessed to have Erica John DePriest in the house, the founder of Erica John Coaching and Publishing. Welcome to Office Hours Friday Training.
Hi, thank you.
Oh my gosh, it's such a pleasure to have you. Now, one of the most common things that coaches deal with, Erica, is getting stuck. Everybody, no matter who and what level they are, whether you're one of the world's greatest basketball players, as we learned last night, or just starting out in your first venture or going to school, so many people feel stuck. And you have given us a pragmatic book, a best-selling book, to the secret of getting unstuck. I can't think of something more valuable in life than having these daily habits that you talk about as a guide. Give us some insight on why people feel unstuck. I mean, why they feel stuck in the first place.
Yes. And thank you. Thank you so much for that validation, because I feel like everyone gets stuck in some area at some point in their life, and sometimes more than once. So in the book, I talk about the habits, the mechanics of habits, the habit loop, how you get stuck in a habit, particularly habits that are not working well for you. And then I break down how do you break those habits and how do you create new ones I heard someone say, you can't just stop a habit or quit a habit. You have to replace it with something else. So I thought it was very important that if I'm going to tell you five habits that will change your life, I should help you to understand the mechanics of habits. And then we go into obliterating negative beliefs, identifying and obliterating negative beliefs. And I say identify them because sometimes we don't even realize that we have negative beliefs, or we don't realize that what beliefs are controlling us. So if you can imagine being stuck in this negative habit loop with this negative belief, and we will never act out of alignment with our beliefs. So if I had a client the other day, we were working on a business plan, and she said, you know, I think I'm just not, I don't believe that I will be consistent. And I said, well, you know, if we can come up with the best strategy, the best plan, but if you don't believe that you're going to be consistent, then this plan is not going to work. I don't care. So go ahead.
Oh, no, this is great. I love the idea of talking about negative beliefs. And I'm curious your thoughts on this, because what I have found is even when you help people get unstuck, right? They had these negative beliefs, and then we help them get unstuck and they elevate to a new level of success. Do you find that they find new negative belief patterns and limitations that you have to help them with? Or is it something that once they have the habit of that introspective thought process, they're able to break free from them much quicker? What do you notice with your clients?
It just depends. I will say this. There's always that next level, right? So once we set out to accomplish a goal, get unstuck in a certain area, make some level of progress, it's human nature that we want to go to that next level. Well, with that next level presents a whole new set of challenges and problems to work through, and may even reveal some negative beliefs that you didn't know that you had. So that's why I believe everyone needs a coach. Even coaches need coaches. I read not too long ago, Oprah has 4 coaches. So there's something to having that presence in your life to keep you moving forward. So even if you do get stuck, it's not nearly as long, because the coaching can help pull you right out, and tools like The Secret to Getting Unstuck.
You know, it's funny, Erica, is that before I get to Dr. Sean Dill, my first real coach was Bob Proctor, and I was blessed to have Bob Proctor. And the first piece of advice Bob gave me was, you need a minimum of 3 coaches. And I looked at him, I said, is this some kind of conspiracy of coaches? Like, when you start coaching, the first piece of advice is you need
the multi-level marketing of coaching.
I can barely afford you, Bob. But I maintain more than 3 coaches still today, and probably have one of the bigger coaching practices in the world. And my favorite coach that I've had, the longest one, is my sleep coach. And I was telling my friends that it gives me the most productivity, accessibility in my life to know how to sleep. I'm going to be in the Sleep Hall of Fame, by the way. Speaking of the Sleep Hall of Fame, he won't put you to sleep, but this is Dr. Sean Dill.
Erica John, they call you the people whisperer. I love that. And, you know, I want to pick up that conversation of new levels. I think that one of the things that gets us stuck oftentimes is fear. Joe Dispenza talks about how fear is just frozen energy. Like, we get in a situation where we aspire to more. We can kind of even potentially even visualize where we want to go. But there's a lot of fear of the unknown, fear of the known. Talk to us about how fear plays a role in getting us to be stuck.
Yes, fear is paralyzing. Fear will stop you in your tracks, hence stuck. You can't move. And it can be a very powerful thing. And it's probably the biggest thing that I deal with when we talk about coaching or coaching my clients. And I think that having tools like the book, The Secret to Getting Unstuck, is incredible in helping you to get unstuck, because it's giving you tangible, tactical things to do. when I think about fear, it's in our heads, right? It's not, sometimes I say, it's not like it's a masked man with a gun saying, no, you can't do that. It's all in our head. And I also heard this quote that said, when you're in your head, you're dead, right? So it's just all stuck. So if you can find some tools, some techniques that will propel you forward, then you can work your way through the fear. And I don't know if I told you guys this. Well, as you can see here in the background, I've written a book, The Secret to Getting Unstuck, A Guide to Forming Five Habits That Will Transform Your Life and Make You Unrecognizable. And I got to thinking, you know, you can read a book and get it intellectually. And if you put it down and you never revisit it, then it doesn't do you any good. So I created a meditation that will walk you through the steps that I talk about in the book, The Five Habits, and an accompanying journal. And that way you have the intellectual knowledge and then you have tools to put it in practice. And then the third book is The Secret to Getting Unstuck, Declarations of Truth. And it's all about affirmations that will transform your life.
Well, the practice of identifying fear is one thing, how to handle our reaction to fear and the amount of time that we stay stuck because of our reactions to fear, fear of the past formulating into resentment and guilt, fear of the future and anxiety and worry, all duplicative negatives that are interfering with our potential, driving us to get the validation from others of wanting others to think something or wanting others to approve or validate who we are. But I love the affirmation side of it and telling myself every day I am, and filling in the blank, and then figuring out what we're doing to interfere with that. Forming habits is an essential part of that. And it's nice to know someone has given us a guide, not just to read over and understand, as you said, intellectually, but to practice every day to transform ourselves into an entirely new you at a higher elevation, frequency, and vibration. This book is a must read. It's obviously being read by a lot as it's a best-selling book, The Secret to Getting Unstuck. Check out Erica John DePriest. She's an amazing coach, publisher. She is also a keynote speaker and also making some cash in real estate with The Best of Us. So congratulations, Erica. We have many other places to put you. What a great introduction here on our Friday training office hours edition. Thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you so much. Have an amazing day.
You're amazing. Oh, we are blessed to be here with my two friends. And as we were talking about last night, and the takeaways of that time, I have no idea what we're doing there, but you know, I'm a very transparent person. So I love people to hold up notes with a very faint ink on it.
And scribbles. Scribbles are good.
I think you're just staying on mute.
I think we're good right now. We're good, right?
Here, Nick, come here for a second. Everybody knows the Nick of Time. He's here in studio with us live. Come here, buddy. All right, this is Nick. This is what he looks like, everyone.
Yay.
Nick of Time, what did the note say?
The note, I don't even remember word for word.
Stay unmuted.
I said, stay unmuted in between guests. So as we take questions, everybody on the webinar would be able to hear us.
Awesome. All right.
Okay.
So do we have questions on Clubhouse?
Yes.
We do. All right. Who are you going to bring up, Nick?
Yes. So for our first question of the day, I'm going to pass it over to the wonderful Serafina. So Serafina, go ahead and unmute yourself and ask David, Sean, and Lacey your question.
Hello, good morning, happy Friday. So my question is, what's the difference between willingness and willfulness?
Oh, wow. This young lady asks me questions so often that I've never heard before, which is a complete sign of intelligence, by the way, if you're not asking the exact. So willingness and willfulness.
Take it away, Dave.
I'm going to. And thank you, Serafina. So I think it has to do with free will. And the relationship between, if I'm willing to do something, I'm aligning with somebody else's will. Mm-hmm. And if I'm willful, I'm trying to get people with my free will to align with what I will. Mm-hmm. And combined, Serafina, which I think is an important matter of will, is that our will includes the attention and intention of where we want to be, a divine direction. And so I think the relationship or difference between them is whose will is driving the wisdom and driving the faith to get to the divine direction. And if we align timing and risk tolerance, value, emotion, then we can have that coordinated collaborative movement that I think falls into, we are willingness to do, say, think, feel, and believe. Any other ideas?
No, I was just thinking about the two words in general. And I feel like willfulness, like if I have a willfulness, like energetically, that feels like a more empowering word than even willingness. Because I think sometimes people use the word willingness, like I have a willingness to do it. You know, it can hold really empowering energy or lower energy depending how the user utilizes it, which I think is interesting.
So like when your mom asks you to clean your room.
You're like, I have a willingness to do it, right? But it doesn't mean I'm willful. But you're not willful, right? And so I like that willfulness is so empowering and it's such a strong word. So I think stepping into that is really, really amazing.
You hear that, mom?
Yep.
Anything else, Dr. Sean Dill?
I think that, I mean, first of all, Serafina, it's a great question.
It's a great question.
For someone of her age to be contemplating these things is on a Friday morning.
Yeah, right.
Early pretty, Friday morning.
Pretty awesome. I think that, and I was trying to think to use correct grammar, but yeah. I can't. I think it's kind of a tense. The willingness does not even actually have to be attached to anything. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes you hear that. I have a willingness to do anything. I have a willingness to try raw oysters. I have a willingness to whatever the thing is. Willfulness is attached to, like, you can't have willfulness without the attached outcome or what you're attached to, what the willingness or willfulness is attached to. So I think it's, you know, the precursor is willingness. And there's a lot of people that have willingness. I think that the sign of maturity is then you have that intention, that discernment, and mm-hmm. you've picked the things that you have a willfulness towards. Because you can have a willingness just generally towards, I have a willingness to wake up today, attack the day, and have a phenomenal day. But I have a willfulness towards, you know, doing our content,
right,
engaging with people, creating lasting and meaningful relationships. And so I have to assign what it's towards in order to mm-hmm. be willful.
That is awesome. We are blessed to have people like Serafina here. Nick, do you have another guest or you want me to take something online? We are overloaded with interest, curiosity, and co-creativity, by the way.
Absolutely. I was going to say, I have actually one online that I think would be a perfect fit. If you wouldn't mind, actually, I can go ahead and read it. Is that cool?
I love it, man. That's
beautiful. So between you, Dr. Lacey Book, and of course, Dr. Sean Dill, you guys are all coaches, right? So the question is, what are some questions you can ask a potential mentor or coach to understand if they're the right fit?
Yeah, well, it's very important to align if you're the right fit or not. And, you know, I know early on coaching, we think everybody's the right fit mm-hmm. because we want to make it our occupation because we love to be of service and to bring value. But hopefully you'll get to a point in your coaching career where you can let the person know you're not a good fit. I know last night we had a few occurrences of people who wanted to come actually to our VIP dinner. Mm-hmm. And we are very conscious about the community, the network, the neighborhood that we're in. And it was like, hey, you're not a good fit for this community. It doesn't mean that you're bad or good, right? We just have a certain frequency or neighborhood. And for me, because I coach all the time, I don't think a person who wants me to coach them would be able to realize whether I'm a good fit or not.
Right.
Hopefully they will, and they'll do it before they say, I want you to coach me. Mm-hmm. Usually the good thing about today with the social silos that we create, people think they're a good fit for you is why they reach out for you to coach them. Mm-hmm. So I think it's your responsibility and to be accountable to them saying, hey, you know what? I can't think of a quantitative value that I can bring, but maybe Dr. Lacey Book can, because she has situational knowledge, experience, and relationships that can bring that value. I could give you some mindset tips, but we're not a good fit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start over here with the BFF, Mr. Dr. Sean Dill.
Well, I think, first of all, it's important to sort of define for everybody the difference between a coach and a mentor.
And a teacher.
And a teacher as well. Typically, though, I would think that in this forum, people aren't necessarily looking for teachers, although they probably should actually, right? You know, the dissemination and the transfer of knowledge on a particular subject matter is very important. What happens too is I think that we get tired of being taught, right? And so then we feel like we have our knowledge base down, and then we move into the realm of coaching and mentorship. A mentor is someone who has actually done the thing. Like they have the experience. They've paid the dummy tax, as you say, Dave. They've been through the situation. But also, too many times, especially on social media, people make a big deal about this and say that in order to be a coach, you need to have had experience in the thing. In fact, most of the world's greatest coaches, especially on like professional sports level, haven't actually excelled at the thing. You know, you look at Sean McVay or Mike McDaniel, even Andy Reid just winning the Super Bowl. Like, did he win Super Bowls as a player? Like, then you're like, well, wait a minute. Did he play? Like, so now we're like, hey, I'm not sure that, you know, that would make a good coach. What are you talking about? Of course, he's one of the greatest coaches currently in the game. But then you have mentorship. And then one of the ones that I think gets highly overlooked, Steve Kerr, mentor and coach. So,
and teacher, by the way.
And teacher, yes. Yeah. So, I mean, you have to decide, because you don't have to have, you know, you don't have to have a teacher, mentor, coach, but you could. You have to actually, I think, start with, what do I need? Do I need coaching or do I need mentorship?
Great point. Dr. Lacey Book?
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. A lot of times you don't know the difference between what you want and what you actually need. And so it's really difficult for you to go to somebody, a coach, to figure it out if they're going to be able to serve you in the right way, because you may want something, but that may not be what you need to actually grow your business or elevate in your life. Because if you already knew what you needed, you'd probably already be doing it, right? And so like you said, oftentimes it's just a vibrational match. It's an energy. It's I like your style. And then it's on the mentor, teacher, or coach to be able to say you're a right fit or you're not. So very important.
Yeah, one of the things, and we're going to be bringing on our amazing guest, Daniela. She's right there in the green room. One of the more difficult things is to tell the truth as a coach. Mm-hmm. And once again, I'm very obsequious because I'm on the other side of coaching now. But I look back at being true to myself as a coach. I wouldn't push people, because I'd be afraid they would fire me. Mm. Like, I wouldn't tell them the truth.
Right.
And now it's the opposite. I, you know, purposely only work month to month both ways. Mm-hmm. Because I the most frustrating thing of being a coach is wanting it more than the person you're coaching, or them not doing the work and thinking they want it as much as you want it for them.
Yeah.
And when they don't do the work, I used to sit back and just, hey, you know, well, they'll come around on their own time. Now I just let them know, look, you cannot waste my time. I have too many people that want to do the work to get there. And I'm going to tell you the truth. And it's going to hurt your feelings if you're a human. And you're going to have to give me permission in order to work.
And so, you don't know you need that, right? Until somebody does that for you.
It's not a good fit if somebody can't take it. I mean, we have children, and some can take constructive criticism and others can't.
Right.
And it's the same thing with your coaching clients. We are blessed, though, to have so many different friends that join us. And Daniela Gilboa is here, co-founder and CEO of AIVF, all the way from Israel. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, Daniela.
Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon.
Thank you for joining us. You know, there is a huge business and need infertility, and lives change immensely when we're able to provide them this gift, and a gift, not to say that adoption and other alternatives aren't there, but there's something special in being able to provide the ability to create a legacy of life. And it's probably one of the most emotional things that happen in the world, but yet now it's also science combined with that emotion. AI obviously has a big role in the statistical success today. What are you guys doing at AIVF to help more people experience one of, if not the greatest joy in life?
First of all, thank you so much for having me. I always love to talk about IVF and AIVF. So thank you for the opportunity. We at AIVF believe that we can optimize IVF and help many more families realize the dream of having a baby. And AI today that is pretty much accessible, we can leverage AI to really help in decision-making and making IVF to be more easier, even fun, accessible, transparent, and successful, more successful. And this is our mission and vision, and this is what we do. And, you know, I tell the people here, mostly engineers, I tell them that every line of code they write is translated tomorrow morning to happy patients. So this is what we do.
I love it. I love the fact that you said it can be fun too, because I think that was the thing that stuck out to me the most. I think a lot of people go through this journey and it's difficult and it's hard and there's a lot of emotions around it. So can you expand on what that means to be able to do this and help them do it in a way that's lighthearted and fun?
Yeah. So first of all, it's a journey and I think it's the exact, it's right. Explaining IVF as a journey. And I think once the patient understands that it's a journey and she's there, she can make decisions, she's empowered to understand the journey, to choose the caregivers, to choose the clinic, to understand what she's going through. So this is a good way to start. So she's not led by anyone, she's leading. And by that, I mean, she needs to understand what she's going through and understand the science and the biology and not be shy to ask questions. And given the opportunity to ask questions and given the data and the information that what is she going through, how many embryos she has, how they're graded, is it considered good or bad, what does it mean a good embryo, what are the chances of success, what's ahead of me, how long is it going to take me, how much money do I have to spend, what's in it for me. So I think these questions are crucial for everyone. And I think an IVF patient that has so many, it's like you're entering a chaotic world. And we are here to help guide them through this chaos. So what they're doing is they're connected to clinics that work with the IVF. It's a software platform that is connected inside the clinic. So clinics that are connected to IVF become more transparent, because everything is all the data and the embryos and the patient records and everything is collected into one single dashboard that is connecting the physician, the lab, and the patient. So everyone talks the same language. And imagine you have your iPhone and you log into the clinic and you see everything. You see your embryos and you see the development, which is the most amazing thing in the world, to see your embryos developing in the lab inside an incubator and understanding what the process is and what, you know, this is your embryos that will turn into your baby. So the emotional aspect as well as the science is so moving and it's so there that I think, you know, it's really up to us as a society to first bring it to the crowd, and second, it needs to be accessible, and we as a society need to help people realize the dream of having a children. It does not have the fact that it's now not accessible. And you know, if you don't have the money and if you live far from any good clinic, then so this is what we have to do. And it's not only the mission of IVF, and I think it's us as society.
Yeah, very important. And obviously providing a huge opportunity and option for people that don't have one. Dr. Dill.
Yeah, I think this is absolutely phenomenal. And I one of the things I love about technology, especially what AI is doing for the world, is it shrinks it. It makes it possible, like right now, for us to have a conversation with somebody in Tel Aviv and transmit that conversation to people all around the world. And I love how you are utilizing technology to shrink the world and provide access. You talked about access to people all over the world. So I'm wondering, this conversation, how can we leverage this platform right now to bring this to more people? Is this more consumer facing? So can just women around the world access the platform, or are we trying to reach the professionals? Do we have to have the clinics on board first? How does somebody interface and get in touch with you and start getting involved in the system?
So thank you for asking that. First of all, IVF is a scientific and a medical process. So it needs to be inside a medical institution. It cannot be done at home. So it's not a kit that you can do it at home. So it's a medical process. And so we are working with IVF clinics and medical centers, small and big, everywhere in the world. And we're providing our technology inside the clinic. And it just helps with decision making. And so I think every single step of the way that has the IVF expert with an AI tool that helps them make better decisions, I think we gain a lot. And you know, healthcare in general is going through this transformation now, and so is IVF. So, you know, basically we connect with IVF centers around the world. And so whoever is interested in our technology, I would be very happy if you log on to aivf.co or write to me, and I will be there to help.
And we are so appreciative for that. It's such an important opportunity for so many. So go to aivf.co. The incredible Daniela Gaboa, thank you so much for bringing more life to not only our show, but to the world. We appreciate you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Nick of time. It's time for you to reset the room. Hey, we are doing a lot of traveling, Nick. So I know a lot of people will be joining us at SoFi next week, SoFi Stadium, our studio office, Mastermind Center there in the stadium. Get a tour of the revamped FIFA World Cup stadium now. They're tearing it apart. sorry, Chargers and Rams. But we also have a big tour coming up with meetups and VIP dinners. Nick of time, we are getting into the fourth quarter. Can you help us out a little bit?
It would be a pleasure and honor, as always. Doing a quick reset of the room here. This is the one and only Power Hour with David Meltzer in the best room and community in Clubhouse, The Breakfast with Champions. As you can tell, today's topic is the office hours training. So we're being featuring these incredible guests, and in between them, we'll be able to take some questions. So as you have your questions for David, who is also joined by Dr. Lacey Book and Dr. Sean Dill, as you have those questions, use the hand in the lower right-hand corner of your screen to request to join the stage, and we will aim to bring you up. As David mentioned, next week we will be in Southern California at SoFi Stadium. So if you'd like to join David there, please make sure to reach out. But the big tour at the end of February kicks off on Monday the 26th in Chicago, and then the 27th on Tuesday, which is New York, right? Then we have Wednesday the 28th, which will be in New Jersey. Finally, on the 29th in the morning, we will be in Philadelphia, followed by the evening or afternoon back in Chicago. So I know that's a lot to take in. When you want that schedule, all you want to do is email David directly to not only join him in person, but to make sure you have all the correct dates, times for meetups, VIP dinners, and everything in between. So that email is just David@dmeltzer.com, and you can also join his text community to get the reminders of where David's going to be. And that text community will be 949-298-2905. Both can be found in the room chat here.
Yeah, I'm not sure everyone on StreamYard heard that in LinkedIn. So, because we're not connected on Nick's phone. So let me just remind everyone, as we're going to take a question here, we will be, if you are want to join us in SoFi, New York, New Jersey, Philly, also in Las Vegas, go ahead, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. All right, Nick, we're ready to go. Let's bring the next guest up.
Absolutely. Our next guest will be joining us in about 5 minutes. So in the meantime, I will pass the mic over to Monica, who has a question for David, Sean, and Lacey. Monica, thanks so much for joining us here on the Clubhouse. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask your question.
Oh, thank you. Oh, great. I was just sending an email to David.
Oh, perfect.
to join you in New York. Yeah, I just moved here, so I'm really excited.
Awesome. Good to see
you. Yeah, it'll be great to see you in person.
Well, I have my two expert friends, the geniuses, the two docs in the house, so would love to hear your question.
Okay, yeah. Well, I wanted to share, too, that I had trouble with infertility, had two miscarriages before I had my first son, and I know what the turmoil that women go through when they're having to like face the idea of maybe not having children. I guess I would like to know, is there emotional support with the program that she's offering? It sounds really, really fascinating. And I'm really glad that technology is actually helping with such an important issue.
Yeah. So what they provide is a platform for the clinicians, the embryologists, the doctors, and the facility. So they're empowering them with better information to help support those. So I think the variance of what type of emotional support you get is determined upon the doctors, the embryologists, the clinicians that you're working with. And for clarification, what the AIVF is the artificial intelligence side to expedite the information, to identify the embryos, to increase the success for those people that are having difficulty getting pregnant. But like we started with that question, it's such a good question because it is one of the most emotional things. We had a miscarriage on our third child, and I couldn't imagine if that was the first time because it was so emotional, even though we had two successful pregnancies and healthy children. It was one of the most emotionally interfering things, fear-based things in life, as we are born here to co-create and to give more people that experience option to have children is awesome. But I want to reiterate, too, that, you know, I believe we're protected and promoted in some challenges, even as difficult as they are, like not being able to have children. We also are blessed to have people that have children that that need houses and need homes and need parents that don't and can have children. And so I want to encourage everyone to realize there's many options, opportunities. And when we are faced with different struggles, I always try to find the light, the love, and the lesson, the opportunity, and realize that there's a divine direction that's meant for my life and for yours. And we just are creating more and more of those opportunities. I can't wait to see you in New York City. We will be there on the 27th. Thank you so much for emailing me.
You bet. Thank you.
You got it. Nick of time. We got time for another question.
I actually believe that our guest is here ready to rock and roll in the green room. Do you see her on your side, David?
Yes, I do. Alicia Kay is here. Muy bien. All right, let's bring on Alicia Kay. Thank you for your patience, everyone, as this is the first time that we are doing a multicast of this sort, and we want to thank the Pacers, the NBA, for allowing us to utilize this studio here in Indianapolis on NBA weekend. This is the All-Star edition. We heard Alicia Keys earlier. Now we have Alicia Kay, licensed mental health counselor. She also is a certified life coach and has her own coaching and events business in New York City. So hopefully we'll see her as well in New York. Welcome, Alicia. So you guys are doctors, and let's get off of the fertility side. Mm-hmm. Just you do so much with patients, and you have so many doctors that work with you in the Black Diamond Club that come to our masterminds. And I was curious how AI is impacting your field completely, not just infertility.
Well, I think AI is a very interesting tool. Mm-hmm. And I think that the jury, it's a great tool. And I think that, you know, we've had several discussions about this in many forums, and really what it comes down to is how you use it. So I would say the jury is out, not mm-hmm. whether or not it's real or whether or not it's good, but the jury is out whether it is being used for good. So I mean, one of the dangers is that a lot of people are like, well, it is AI, so now I don't need human doctors anymore, I'll just sit at home. You know, with the advent of even just information technology, a lot of people began to, you know, self-diagnose. Well, now, you know, that just accelerates and potentially compounds on the problem. But then the argument on the other side is, listen, it's not wrong that often. And in fact, AI, you know, in many of the research and tests, grades higher than the human doctors, mm-hmm. not only just on accuracy, but also on bedside manner. And so I think that, you know, one of the things that's, yeah, it's shocking, yeah. But I think that what the biggest breakthrough is that humans need to learn how to work alongside, like you have the world's greatest assistant mm-hmm. And access to the world's greatest assistant. And I think that at the end of the day, I mean, people still trust and want to interact with healers. There's, you know, AI doesn't have a healing component, an energetic component. And so I think that what it's left to is, can the world's greatest healers learn to leverage and maintain their healing energy while accessing the knowledge base, you know, situational awareness and thinking that AI can bring to the table. And if that happens, I honestly think that, you know, we're living in a time where there's some major breakthroughs. I think we're going to see life expectancies increase exponentially high. I would love to see us take away the human and political component of what things, drugs, therapies, and treatments that are available to us. And I'm hopeful that AI will begin to prove some of that stuff out and flesh that out and give some validity to a lot of the great things that are out there in the world.
Yeah, AI is kind of like a hammer. It can be used to build a house or knock it down. And when we're talking about our health, it's even more important to have and understand the statistics. How do you see, I know you work with so many doctors, Lacey, how do you see AI as far as being utilized in a positive, or what should we be aware of that could be abused?
Yeah, no, I was just thinking, because what Sean is talking about may be detrimental to the healthcare profession. You know, again, if everybody is looking to AI to get their answers, right? But what I have seen is it has empowered a lot of smaller healthcare providers that have smaller businesses and want to help and serve more people. It's allowed them to be able to utilize AI to get their message out there, to be able to articulate what they do.
Amazing. All right. Yep. On our own accountability, we have figured out our technology with the incredible Alicia Kay, and she is one of my 1,000 because I'm on a mission to empower over a billion people to be happy, to live in bliss, and she has an amazing program. It's a six-month program called Breakthrough to Bliss, giving us the mindset, the heart set, and the handset in order to live these willful, fulfillful, passionate, purposeful, and profitable life that we all in a divine direction desire. Welcome, Alicia Kay, to Office Hours.
Awesome. Thank you so much, David. What an incredible intro, and I am just grateful to be here.
Well, the universe always conspires when we have too much energy. So I always raise my awareness when the energetic interference happens that we're going to blow out all of these different platforms. What are you teaching in the six-month program? You know, it's so such a broad thing. I find myself people asking me, Dave, yeah, over a billion people to be happy. What does that mean? I specifically say, I'm going to teach you to make more money, help more people, and have fun. What are we going to learn with your program?
Oh, absolutely. I am, you know, I combined all of my years as a psychotherapist for the last 20. So I'm have an extensive history of trauma, right? And so I teach people in the beginning of the program that their beliefs about themselves and their perceptions of what they're carrying within them essentially is formed for within the first 7 years of their life. And so we really start to get down to the nitty-gritty of why they feel the way they feel about themselves and really learn that they could become the master to change that within them at any point. So removing the parental imprint of what they got and didn't want, or what they needed and didn't get, we really identify all of that in the first half of the container. And so we're really clearing that out, helping them get rid of the shame, the blame, the resentment, and all of that pain that they're carrying in their body, so that they can go through a nervous system clear out with somatic breath work, with internal family systems work, with deeper trauma processing work, so that in the second half of their program, they can realign with the energy of their divine self, their creative self, to build and co-create the life that they want to be living outside of all of the dense energy that they've been carrying really since the day that they've been born. So we're raising the vibration by working with the past and future at the same time, which is an incredible program that I've developed using all of my skills as a therapist, teacher, and coach.
Alicia, I absolutely love this topic. And I love that you utilize the word imprint, because I think that very early on, we are imprinted in so many ways. And when people have traumas and things that they're dealing with, oftentimes all they do is focus on the emotional component, when really it does create a neurological imprint in our system that manifests in all sorts of ways. So I'm curious, because you said the front half of the container was helping them identify that and release all of the trauma. But in the second half of the container, are you helping them create new imprints so that they can evolve and change in a different way?
Yeah. So unlike a lot of the coaching programs out there, mine includes what is called somatic release breath work, which is working with your intuitive intelligence in the body to clear out trauma and to clear out that programming so that you can create the energetic feeling in your body of what it feels like to be in alignment, to hear those downloads, to connect with your higher self and source that's always within you. So it's really the combination of like talk and deeper work, along with that somatic work to clear out your nervous system from what you've been carrying. And then yes, when they are able to, you know, create the state of bliss from within, because that's a mindset, right? That's a state of being that we can tap into at any point. But a lot of us don't even know that that's available because of the way that we've been interpreting our suffering. And so it's changing your story, owning your divinity, and really aligning with that frequency that's always within you, that's been guiding you since the day that you came into this body.
Yeah, it's amazing too how you've combined the reconciliation of time. And when we're looking at bliss, I think it's really important. Not only is it a love language for me, but I think it's a necessity to understand the infinite time of past, present, and future, but reconciling into the present time. Speaking of the nick of time, we have Dr. Sean Dill just in the nick of time to ask another great question.
Alicia, I'm going to get outside of the box. One of the things that we think is important, especially we were talking earlier about coaching, is that all great coaching advice always needs to be counterintuitive. Because listen, if it were intuitive, that's what the client would have been doing anyways. They would have gotten themselves out of their current situation into where they want to go. So here comes a little bit of an interesting coaching. It's not us coaching you. I want your perspective coaching people for all of the listeners. If people actually have this, and I wholeheartedly agree, we're formed early age. We have these imprints, parents, environment, influences, etc. Most people don't know this, though. The common person right. is not aware of this. Yeah. Do you have any tips for, we're listening now. Now we are all aware. We've heard you bring this into awareness. So for now, all of us, when we're looking out at the world, what are some clues that we might see in individuals? I think this is especially important in hiring. Mm-hmm. What are some things that we might see in individuals that they have these imprints that might be potentially even negative, maybe negative to them, maybe negative to me? Should I decide to enter into relationships? What are some things that you've seen that people are carrying around these imprints and they just don't know it?
I always look at the language that they use, right? Because I believe that words are creative, not just descriptive. And so the language that they're using to describe a situation is always my doorway in to the deeper unconscious, subconscious programming that they're still carrying in them, that then becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy of what they're creating in their outer reality, right? So if you say something like, I am not enough, right, or there's something wrong with me, then that essentially the universe is going to align more of that for it to be true. And so when you really start to identify the words that people are using and be like, well, you said this, but let me invite this perspective in, What if that was only because you needed that language and that belief to survive your situation? And it's actually outdated programming now, mm-hmm. right? So I really help them see how their outer world is really a mirror to their inner world and the work that their soul and their psyche wants them to do in their life.
Well, I'm in heaven because my love language not only is time, but it's also a study of Einstein, who said you can't solve a problem in the same consciousness in which it was created, mm-hmm. Which is what Sean is talking about, which is why we need these signature programs from the experts, the mentors, the coaches, the teachers, like Alicia Kay. And there's so many different ways to get a different perspective. It's not only sharing that perspective and idea, but having a coach, a mentor, and a teacher like you that helps walk us through the steps in order to execute on what needs to be done in order to heal. And for those of us that have the best option philosophy in life, I believe in millions of lifetimes because it's a better option than one. But one of the things that comes along with believing that there's millions of lifetimes is genetic and energetic inheritance, the imprints that we have in the prescribed hardware that we've been given, the epigenetic and genetic DNA, the coding, that no matter what our practices are daily, no matter what our neural pathways that have been formed previously, the 40,000 or so of the same thoughts every day, which 80% of them approximately are negative and repetitive, we need coaches to help change the way we look at things. So the things we look at change. That's what Alicia Kay is doing. We look forward to seeing her in New York, hopefully on the 27th, or New Jersey on the 28th, somewhere around Hamburg, New York, that she can join us. If you want to break through, if you want to get unstuck, this has been a great place to be on Office Hours. We've had the experts from around the world, with whether it's physically, mentally, spiritually, or emotionally. It's time to break through to our happiness. We have to thank Alicia Kay for joining us on our mission to empower over a billion people to be happy, to live in bliss. Remember, I am happy. It takes people like Alicia Kay to help teach us what we're doing to interfere with it. Thank you so much, Alicia. We'll see you in New York.
Yes, thank you.
Awesome. Well, here we are at my favorite spots of all the Office Hours, especially the Friday training edition of Office Hours. Just wondering, as we talked about the takeaway from last night, what's your takeaway, Dr. Sean Dill, for this episode of Office Hours?
Well, this is interesting because usually we have such amazing guests and they're in alignment, which likewise happened today. Phenomenal.
Thank you, Raluca.
Yeah, Raluca, great job. My takeaway actually is outside. This is going to be a breaking the fourth wall takeaway. That, I mean, and we've seen this, we've lived it. I think in the last, 48 hours, we were talking about this morning, that things just work out, right? And this came up, alignment. So if you can stay in alignment, things work out. You might feel like you're about to lose a $1 million deal. You can't freak out. You just stay in alignment. You might not know how to do the mute or the tech or how we're syncing the audio, and you might have 7 minutes to get it done. But listen, it will always work out.
And it always will work out, protecting, promoting, and loving us as well, because I believe there's something bigger than us that knows everything, that is protecting, promoting, and loving us. Speaking of love, I love you, Dr. Lacey Book.
I love you too. I can. Actually, it was one of the last things Alicia said. It was just a reminder that, words have a lot of power and hold a lot of energy. And oftentimes what you say is an external reflection of what's happening internally. But oftentimes those words aren't even your own. And I recognize that a lot in myself and other people. Like she said, you're imprinted at a very young age. So sometimes you're saying things, you have belief systems, you have narratives that were put on you, but they're not your own. And so what's so great about understanding that is that you can be empowered to let them go because they don't belong to you.
That is so true. And there's an exercise that I've learned of the power of those words. If you have repetitive negative thoughts that are formulated by your conscious or your unconscious, or even the subconscious and those neural pathways, if you speak it out loud, it's an impossibility of our human capability. You will override the system when you say, I am happy, even if, or I am worthy, even if you're feeling, saying, believing, differently. If you say it out loud, it's impossible to keep thinking those negative thoughts. So there is a great power in that. For me, my takeaway is how important it is to seek help, whether it's through coaches, teachers, mentors, or AI, to seek help in three different areas. One, to determine the clues for that wisdom and faith, to see the patterns that exist within the context of those clues to assist us in the wisdom and faith that it takes in the divine direction. And then finally, to make choices that are aligned and prioritized with where we want to be or better. And all three of our guests, whether it's via AI, technology, emotion, mindset, handset, heart set, philosophies, theories, religion, all are indicating how important it is to seek help in finding the clues, identifying the patterns, and making the choices prioritized towards a divine direction of where you want to be or better. That's what this show is all about, to help with that by bringing the best in the world. Speaking the best in the world, it's 10 o'clock on the East Coast. I'm normally at 7 a.m. on the West Coast. It feels good to be on adult time here around the world. I'm up at the normal time here. It was a blessing. But I want to thank everyone, especially my man, Nick of Time. Nick of Time, can you close out the room?